Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Firstly, tell me about the extent of this misdiagnosis. How big is the problem we're talking about?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And the big answer is we don't know, but we have some clues. We know that there's 3.4 million Lyme tests taking place. And those are mostly Lyme tests that the federal government recommends, the ones that they like. Outside of that, by talking to various labs around the country, I estimate that at least tens of thousands of tests are going on each year, and it's likely much more, telling people they have Lyme or don't have Lyme that are not using tests that have been validated, that actually are proving what they say they can do.
Are any labs from Maine implicated in this?
No, they're not. The labs are scattered around the country. There's labs in California. There's labs in Minnesota. There's labs in Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia. And there may be more, but we did not find any labs operating in Maine. We did find patients in Maine using these labs, certainly, but no labs.
Okay. Explain, if you would, about this loophole I mentioned in the federal regulations that allows labs to offer inaccurate, as you say, tests. How did this loophole come about?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. So back in the 1970s, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, began regulating diagnostic tests. But they exempted, and it was back then, a very small group of tests. These were tests that, you know, let's say they were done in a hospital. They were low risk. They were maybe variations on a common disease, or they were for like an expert was trying to come up with a diagnostic test for someone who has a very rare disease that are hard to do kind of in a big way. So they exempted these group of tests, and that was fine, and things went on as they do. But in the last probably 10 years or so, companies have sort of, you know, really used this exemption to market more and more diagnostic tests, not just for Lyme by any means, but for lots of other things. And some of the companies are great, and they do really good work, but some don't. And the problem is you can't really tell the difference because they are both offering tests to the public or to doctors, and there's no way to vet whether what they're saying is accurate or not.
It seems that this is exemption, as you say, applies to many tests, not just Lyme disease. But of course, in the case of Lyme disease, we have the problem that there's already a controversy anyway within the medical community about diagnosing and treating it and how long it lasts. And can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, so the diagnostic tests are really neatly. There's this huge debate going on over Lyme disease. At the very time Lyme disease seems becoming a larger and larger public health threat, there's a whole group of people who are very sick. Everyone agrees with that, who believe they have Lyme, but the medical establishment says, no, no, you don't. And this group of patients believe not only do they have Lyme, but they have a form of Lyme that's chronic, a chronic active disease that often must be combated and treated with months or even years of antibiotics. The medical establishment says, no, we don't believe this version of Lyme. We understand Lyme is a very complex and confusing disease sometimes, but we believe mostly if you get a course of antibiotics and have Lyme disease, that Lyme disease will likely be gone from your body fairly soon, a month or two, a little bit more for more complex cases. So this is set up this really bitter, bitter divide between people who are really sick, but the medical establishment says, we don't know what you have, but you don't have Lyme, and this sort of what has grown to be a very large parallel medical world filled with doctors called Lyme-literate doctors that do diagnose these patients, but sometimes using these unvalidated tests, which is problematic.
Mm. Well, and also, if you have a federally approved test, that too could be inaccurate, as we've been saying.
Yeah, I mean, so that does also feed into this. The federal tests very early on in the disease are very bad at diagnosing the disease. And when I say early on, I mean like the first few days you get bitten by a tick. The way they test for the disease is they measure antibodies in your system, your immune response, basically, to fight this Lyme bacteria. But early on after you get bit, your body may not have produced enough antibodies yet, so the test is not sensitive enough to detect it. Later on, that accuracy improves greatly, so that's why people rely on the FDA tests, because over time, they're going to catch Lyme most likely. Maybe not in every single case, but most likely they will. But the problems with that test early on, and just the fact that no test is perfect, has allowed this proliferation of other Lyme tests to come to the marketplace.
Now, the FDA is trying to close this loophole, isn't it? But there's a certain amount of resistance.
Yes, it's incredibly contentious. And it's not necessarily the Lyme labs that are saying, don't do this, but there's a whole group of diagnostic tests coming on the market, particularly molecular diagnostics, like sort of looking at your genes and mutations and things to either diagnose you with something or guide treatment. And these labs are producing really good tests really quickly, and they feel the lack of FDA oversight has allowed them to be nimble and quick and really innovative in developing these tests. On the other hand, there is room for problems to occur. And the FDA said, look, we want to regulate these tests in some way. And it set up this very contentious situation in Washington between the two groups. And it's not clear where it's going to go yet.
It leads me on to the final question, really. What can be done? What should someone do if they think they have Lyme disease with all this uncertainty out there?
Yeah, you know, it's like I joke around with my kids. I say, like, the best thing could happen is if you got bit by a tick and you had a bullseye rash. Because if you show up at a doctor's office with a bullseye rash, people will know it's Lyme. But notwithstanding that, you need to be a smart consumer. You need to ask questions. You need to find out if you got the FDA test early on in your sort of tick experience, ask for another test from your doctor. But one thing is worrisome, at least to me as a parent and a journalist, is I wouldn't be going to tests that have not proven to the scientific world that the test works, because I may get a result saying I have Lyme disease, or I may get a result saying I don't have Lyme disease. But I won't have a lot of faith in that result if I can't see that they actually prove to someone independently that that test was accurate enough. So it's sort of buyer beware, but probably FDA tests are your best bet.
Beth Daly from the New England Center for Investigative Reporting, thanks for talking.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.